Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
So you get on the green.
What is this music? Is this NFL music?
So the buddy this tournament is more like one of those you play and I drink tournaments, or
not that casual. Okay. Not that casual. Let me just put it this way.
I would sign up, you know, and be a part of it, because
you know,
I'll be the drinking buddy.
I was going to say, which side?
Yeah, right. The drinking buddy. Go back down there. You always say, you know what, after the buddy tournament, I'll see you guys. So it's
they're going to head back to Boston. So
yeah, so the tournament, well, the tournament nice is like too. Once in a lifetime or twice in a lifetime. And
or every year.
Every year.
No, Santana. And all right, are you joining in now? No, you know
it's
not.
I'm just trying to be,
I don't know what you're trying to do, but it's not helping.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm sleep deprived today. I'm not capable. I have come to the conclusion I am no longer capable of managing my own schedule, my own limited, semi-retirement, old man, elderly schedule. I cannot manage it any longer. I will get to it later. But I could talk about me all day long, but we are in the presence of greatness, because this is the first time this gentleman has been on my show, and I'm excited about it because it's Super Bowl week, and we thought it would be a perfect time. We wanted to have Santana on the show for a long time, but this is a great excuse because it is the big week, and based on his career, I want to maybe talk to Santana Moss and bitch about NFL officiating, because you know there were times that you did it. See, it's never been worse. Santana Moss, legendary Washington Redskin, legendary NFL player. It is a delight to have you on the Mike O'Mara Show. It's the first time we've gotten a chance to meet, much less what are you playing there, Rob?
This is his theme song.
Oh man,
for his podcast. Welcome. And you got in late last night?
Yeah,
right?
Late last night, man. Flew in from Miami. Actually, I went home for the weekend, and I normally come in, you know, a little earlier in the week, but I wanted to see the kids, so I stayed a little longer.
So for the rest of the audience here, where is home? Where
home
you,
is Miami.
You,
well, home is Miami, but, you know, now I'm a Washingtonian, but home would always be Miami. You know, I live here. My family stays back in
Florida.
Went
to the University of Miami. So, yeah. Was home Miami before the University of Miami?
Yes, I'm born and raised in Miami, Florida. Grew up in Carroll City, you know, and played for Carroll City Senior High, and you know, moved on to Miami and got drafted to the Jets. You a Giant, but I got drafted to the Jets in 2001, and Washington became home in 2005, and I kind of couldn't peel myself away from here, so I go back and forth.
Well, I mean, you play for the Redskins. There's nothing, being transplanted from New England and coming down for most of my radio career in D.C. There's nothing. I never saw anything like it.
Yeah.
And, in the last year or two, maybe there's been a little erosion with it. But, you know, I came mid-1980s through the 2000s. Being a Redskin is a different kind of sports celebrity in this market.
Because it's crazy.
And if you're as successful Redskin as you were, it's nuts. And championships are very important to certain cities for the way a team is perceived.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, week to week in this city, right?
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
This city, the win from the previous Sunday would be, I've never seen anything like it. And from a player's perspective, that had to be gratifying, but also, I mean, you guys couldn't go anywhere. I remember it.
It's
amazing.
I wish I would have brought a championship here, because the love I get for just going out there and playing my heart out, you know, they show me so much gratitude for that, to where I still feel like I've cheated them. You know, I feel like, man, I wish I could have gave you more, but I love this city, man. That's why I can't, you know, fail to see myself somewhere else, because it's just so much love here, so much going on, and the doors are always wide open for you to do more because of what you've showed and displayed between those white lines. So I can't appreciate them, you know, any more than what they've shown me.
That's why you get on a plane from sunny Miami and fly into a polar vortex.
That's why you do that. Was the weather different down there?
It was a little chilly, though.
Okay.
It was a little chilly for us down here, and I'm on the other side. I'm in Fort Myers. Okay. For us, it's, I can't bitch about it on this show because if I come in and go, oh, my goodness, it's 60 degrees outside.
I was like that on my bike down there. It was 57 one morning. I jumped on the bike, and I put a hoodie on. I was like, it's chilly, but I'm like, and I got here, I'm crying all last night. Yeah. Like, I'm freezing, you know? So,
It was exciting. I found out today my car thermometer has a negative on it.
Really?
Yeah, minus one just, when so I got you, in the
you
car
actually,
today.
You actually saw nine, minus one down here. And just imagine, I have a lot of friends from Chicago down here.
Oh, boy.
Those guys were, that's all they were talking about because minus 56, 57 with this polar vortex.
You see what the new hashtag is for them?
What's that?
Hashtag Chiberia.
That's exciting. Thank you for sharing that. So, I was going to introduce you when I had you on the show. I was going to introduce you saying, and now here's a guy that doesn't know who I am, but has managed to piss me off many, many, many times in my life. Because when you are a Giants fan, and Redskins fans will know this, that Santana had an amazing career, but you were... Your big game credentials were, you know, when you would, and when you talk about, I'm sorry I didn't bring a championship, that makes sense to me because the teams that you, you know, you really got up for these. The highlight reel is so much Dallas, so much New York Giants. Yeah. And I watched the Giants and it just like, oh, I hate that guy. You know, the long suffering, but it's great to have you on. And now you're in the world of podcasting. Yeah. And, you know, my experience with Podcast Village up there is this little screen you're looking at. So I don't get up there very often. Everybody says you're having a great time doing the podcast. Tell me about that enterprise because you're
I'm
in the
loving
world
it, man. Yeah. Honestly, never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that after football, my after football life would be, you know, being a part of the media, you know, having my own podcast, being, an analyst talking football, especially Redskins football. Right. Trust me, I'm way out of, you know, what I thought would have been my norm. You know, I'm almost like a fish out of water almost. But after the last, 3 years, now I'm finding myself to really, like, enjoy what I'm doing. So now I want to do more. You know, I'm one of those guys when people call and say, hey, I want you to do this. I don't ask where, how, what time I do it because it's reps for me. And I find, you know, love of just talking about something that, you know, that I feel that is something dear to me. So the podcast, man, world, it's like, you know, I have to thank the people that got me involved. You know, Oscar was one of those guys, you know, Chad Dukes, you know, those guys told me, Tanner, if you want to be in this world, you know, I was doing a Chad Dukes show with him for the last few years.
Right.
And he said, you know,
you know, he took my job.
Oh, he took your job.
Yeah, he took my job.
That's right. That's right. It wasn't your job. You got to let that go.
Pardon me. It wasn't my job. You worked on that show. What the F do you mean it wasn't my job? It was my goddamn job. It was my job.
Look at it. Look at it this way.
What are you jumping time in for?
I didn't know I started something up here this morning.
This is the way we need to look at it. Is he might have taken you out of radio, but he put Santana into radio, so he's really just at a level playing field right now.
No, I'm happy for Santana. I'm happy for Santana.
Mike, don't let me know I brought up something that was going to be...
Chad and I, Santana, you'll find even in a brief time, since we've just met each other, I have a lot of issues. You know, for a man of my age, when I should be mellowing, I'm kind of doing the opposite. But that's okay. Chad and I are friends. And Oscar, who I've worked with for a decade now, you know, is on that show that they do.
I feel just, a little better
Chad
now.
And I, Chad and I are a little different.
No, Chad's
Chad and
different
I are a little
sure.
different. Yeah. Chad and I, you know, have a little, but Chad and I are friends, and Chad has been very respectful to me. But you know, Oscar, we just can't get away from the facts. The facts.
Oh, the fake news
of the. It's not fake news. No. You know, and with Chad's been working, man. When Chad started wearing the Make America Great Again hats, you know, that was another, he knew that worked me. And that, I think I'm responsible for that because Chad started wearing those hats initially, not because he was serious about Cheeto Dip the president. What he was doing, he was wearing those hats just to piss me off. Oh. And then look what happened.
Let me ask.
You know, Santana, I apologize.
don't apologize to me, man. I'm not trying. I'm enjoying it right now.
It's weird because, you know, Santana really brought a lot of positive energy in, and then the first thing you say is that you hated him as a player.
You need a balance, and now you need a little balance. You know, it's always better to balance everything out, you know? So I'm the balance part of it at this point.
Arguably, would you two agree? I'm talking to Rob and Oscar.
Yes,
you agree?
Yes, yes.
I am the biggest football fan in this room right
you
now.
You are.
Right, well, yes, except for maybe Santana.
He's not a fan, Rob. He's a player. So you can't be a fan. You can be a fan, but when you're a player, stop it.
Okay.
I'm saying that I'm a big player. And I was on the receiving end. And no, I mean, I am glad to meet Santana Moss.
Okay.
But as a New York Giants fan who lived and died with the Giants.
Screw
you.
And
by the way, if you know about Giants fans can not only hate other players, they can hate the players they have, including one who wins Super Bowls for
right,
you,
this
like
is true.
Eli Manning. Mm. You know?
Mike, it's important for you to highlight while you're a Giants fan, you have some really legendary interactions with Redskin greats. One is Joe Theismann, and the other is Riggo. So,
oh, of course, John
Riggins. Santana might not know this.
In two different ways.
Yes, though, yes.
Because with John Riggins, it was a different kind of socializing that, you know, back, I'm old, Santana. I mean, I'm 59. I'm going to be 60 this year. So I go back a long.
Hey, man. Salute to you. My dad's 63, so you and him could have had a beer or two together.
Hey, you guys could have been in the same high school class.
You know what? John Riggins, it was a short period of time, but John Riggins and I went out on a couple of it. We had the same agent back in the day. My first real radio agent came to me because I was told, well, this is John Riggins' agent. Well, this has got to be great. And his name was Doug Walsh, and he introduced us. And after that, we went out a few times. So my experience with Riggo would be, you know, going out on the town. As you know, Riggins had kind of a reputation for going out on the town.
Yeah.
It was well-deserved. And, you know, and then at like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, you know, he'd be looking at me going, Mitch, you're over, you don't get in the Hall of Fame. Then he'd go face first into his eggs. But that's another story. Theismann, I played a little golf with Joe Theismann, and Joe Theismann, this is Joe Theismann's quote to me one time. I said, I see him, you know, getting ready, looking like Joe. I said, Joe, how you doing? Mike, if I could die and come back as me, I would.
That's a quote. God.
That's a quote. So that's the background that I have. So I mean,
and came to your second wedding.
He came in during.
Yeah. Well, not just late. He came in during the toast.
Wow.
Okay. You know, we've got a legend here. All right, enough about me. Let me give you some statistics. 732 receptions, 10,238 receiving yards.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, when you have over 10,000, I think you just say over 10,000. That's it. 66 receiving touchdowns. These statistics are amazing. Here's the best one I love. 1,398 punt return yards, including some spectacular punt returns, and three for TDs, which is just amazing. I mean, your career, when I watch you as a fan, and I'll get the football crap out of the way, and then we can just talk, and I'll talk about my tragic personal life. But I want to say this to you, that I always watched you as a player, and I'm sure you've gotten this before, and I don't, because I haven't heard a lot of interviews with you. So this, if you've heard this stuff before, bear with me, but your build as a wide receiver was always a little different to me. You know, you think of T.O., you know, you think of Randy Moss, you were built kind of like a linebacker, but a tall linebacker. You know what I mean? You were stocky. You'd catch the ball, and that was unusual when you came into the league, right?
Yeah, I mean, all my life I heard that my structure wasn't going to be of a receiver, you know. I remember in Little League, they told me, you'll be a scat back. You know, we put you in the backfield every now and then.
Right.
I told them no way, because I didn't like to depend on the folks in front of me to block for me and me take on those hits. And I started off my career of football. I was a cornerback / safety and a receiver. So I was a defensive guy that you know, I had a knack for the ball. So at corner, you throw it my way, I'm reading the quarterback, I'm going the other way with it. And
right.
Got to the point that it bored me at times, because at time I didn't get, you know, play, you know, or get any activity on my side. I said, hey, you know what, I'm gonna be a full-time receiver once I hit high school. And I saw guys, my friends, you name it, folks were, you know, of my structure or smaller, playing in the backfield, and they like, well, you need to be back here at 10. And I'm like, no, I'm an outside guy, because I just hated depending on folks blocking for me. So for some odd reason, man, I became that receiver that they told me I couldn't be. And the rest is history, you know?
Yeah, and well, the speed helped, I think.
Speed was everything. Yeah, speed kills. I said it myself.
Speed kills.
You can be built any way you want when you're as fast. It was great. It was fun to watch. Even as a fan of another team, it was fun to watch you you play. And it's just it's been an interesting time for the Washington Redskins. You were here for a good chunk of it. Kind of a controversial topic in Washington, but you know, with ownership and with the coaching changes year after year after year. Well, you live it more than I do. Let me ask you this: as far as, and this, I'll get this out of the way for all our Washington Redskins fans that listen to this show. Where do you think the fan base is right now with the Redskins? I get from afar down here in Florida when I'm watching it, because I still pay attention, I get the impression that the fan base in Washington is at a pretty delicate frustration point right now.
They're hurting right now. They're hurting as a fan base. I think I never seen them at the state that they're at right now. I talk to a lot of folks, you know, periodically when I'm doing different appearances, or I'm just, you know, doing a norm of going to a movie or just, you know, going out to dinner. And the fans come up and they're at a state that I never seen them at. Because when I got here in 05, even with not having that many good seasons at that point, you know, these guys were showing up 80,000+ and stacking, you know, packing the house. And, I found the love of just showing up on Sundays and saying, like, man, one thing I can, you know, count on is these guys cheering us on. Right. And now you can cross your fingers and hope you get 30,000 in that stadium. And I remember the first game this year I went to, I knew I was going to only be there for a half. I sat there and I'm like, okay, I guess the weather is the reason why these folks isn't showing up. Or, you know, probably by halftime people will be rolling in, or maybe they out there getting a couple of hot dogs, or you know, getting
30
some
beers,
you know, whatever. You know, I thought it was just like odd to see. I didn't even hear a cheer for some of the guys that was being introduced, you know, before the game, and that I found that odd. So seeing that game one, you know, I guess they played Colts first home game this year, this past season. And then showing up every other home game and seeing the same atmosphere or even less, it just makes you shake your head and then scratch your head at the same time and wonder why. And then the way the season went on and the different things that, you know, happened throughout the season, you know, we had a state that we need to correct a lot, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like the organization itself need to correct a lot. A lot of changes need to be made. But at the same time, we need to find a way that we can connect more with our fans and hear them out. You know, you need to hear them out and see what's the problems or some of the things that is causing these guys not to show up. And you have to cater to them, because I think if you can't cater to the fans, then you don't give yourself or give your team a chance to really have that atmosphere that's much needed, a home field advantage.
I was glad to hear you say that, because I agree with everything you said. And you're in a situation now, and this is, you know, for those of you around the country, this is Redskins talk, but, you know, the show originates from D.C., and I just wanted to cover this because I think this is a fan base that for years and years and years, decades, this fan base I don't want to say taken advantage of. That's too strong. But it was assumed by ownership that this fan base, you know,
taken for granted.
And when you have an inability to bring home championships, that wears. And when you throw in the fact that, you know, you assume that they're going to tolerate the highest prices in the NFL for certain things, you know, and they assume that. And you look at smaller markets around the NFL and other sports, and there's a lot of stuff they do to cater to the fans. NHL is a good example of that, where they, you know, they have these cities that do stuff for fans. I think they've got to get to that, and somebody's got to get Mr. Snyder, Danny Boy, into a room and say, hey, you know, he's probably aware of that. He's not an idiot. I mean, he knows what's going on, but it's frustrating, and I was curious your take on it, and I'd love to see him change it. I'd love to see him turn around.
You want to see it.
Yeah, and ultimately Santana, a championship and what happens on the field, you know, all bets are off with that. We'll come back. I want to talk to you about NFL refereeing.
Oh, boy.
because
you know how I feel about these refs.
The playoffs are just, it's gotten out of hand. We'll talk about, and then I've got a Florida thing where I want to share with you my screw-up for the weekend that's totally Florida-centric. And for those of you living in the polar vortex, I'm sorry, it's going to piss you off. but it's my world and I screwed up. We'll be right back with Santana Moss, and this is the Mike O'Mara Show. Start the show, Rob Spiewak.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
John, do you have the car keys?
Do I have the car keys? No, no. But according to the sign-out sheet, I was the last person to use the car.
Well, that's not very helpful, John. You're the only one using this sign-out sheet.
Well, that's not true. Stevie's got her name on the sheet. Wait a minute. Why is Stevie's name on the sheet? She's got her own car.
David, do you know where the car keys are?
Yeah, I have them.
Oh, well, then why isn't your name on the sign-out sheet?
Because you're the only one using that sign-out sheet.
David, I need the car keys. Your father's driving me to Thornbridge.
I'm driving you to Thornbridge?
To the municipality's conference, yes.
I thought Roland offered to drive you.
Oh, he did, but no thanks. I can't take 4 hours in a truck with Roland and Leonard Skinnard.
Okay, Alexis and I need the car. We're running some errands for the store today.
Since when?
Since I need your help for a pickup, and Mom clearly already has a lift, and I'm pretty sure parents are supposed to put their children before themselves.
Oh, really? No, if airplane safety videos have taught me anything, David, it's that a mother puts her own mask on first.
Ah, see? And that's precisely why we have the sign-out sheet, for this kind of dispute.
Okay, fine. Now, my name is on the list, and there is a sheep farm that's expecting us in 20 minutes for a pickup of some wool throws.
No. Your mother already expressed a verbal intention to use the car.
Okay, we're gonna have the car back in a few hours.
Okay, well, I might need it for a few hours after that, though.
Fine, we'll just keep it for the day.
John?
You people are abusing the system. It's not a difficult system. Moira, look at this. Under purpose of trip, he writes, driving.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his settee, here's Mike.
Live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for the program. If you're a first-timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained. For our longtime friends, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spreading the word every day about TMOS. From Sparks, Maryland, to Greenberg, Indiana, from West Allis, Wisconsin, to Cool, California.
Cool.
From Point Pleasant, New Jersey, to Adelaide, South Australia, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Untuck It. Here's a tip. No guy looks good in a long, bulky dress shirt when it's untucked. You might think it looks casual, but it actually ends up looking sloppy. That's because they were never meant to be worn that way. Untuck It makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. I love my Untuck It shirts. Not too long, not too short, for that clean, casual look you can wear at the office with more than 50 fit combinations. Untuck It shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. Go to untuckit.com or visit one of Untuck It's 50 stores across the United States and Canada. Untuck It even offers free shipping and returns on all orders in the U.S. Use promo code TMOS for 20% off your first purchase. So, if you want the perfect fitting shirt, regardless of your shape and size, try the original Untuck shirt. And remember, use the promo code TMOS for 20% off your first purchase at Untuck It. Welcome, welcome. We're here with the legendary NFL receiver Santana Moss, who is a host of his own podcast now. And you also have a charity foundation, 89 Ways to Give. For those of you that don't, why is it 89? That was his number!
Yeah, come on, people!
89 Ways to Give can be found at 89waystogive.com. And Santana Moss joins us right now. You're from Miami. You know that down here in South Florida, we're very blessed with wonderful weather.
Great weather.
And for outdoor activities. And so like going out and traveling, and you can, the thing I like about Florida is you can get to different parts of the state where stuff's going on, and you can do so, you know, very easily. I can actually drive to Key West, Florida in about 5 hours and 20 minutes, mm-hmm. which is, you know, pretty cool to be in that part of the world from my part of Florida. And so I was driving down this weekend. I was going to leave after the show tomorrow and drive down to Key West where my sister's staying down there and hang out, drink a little rum, have some fun, and life was going to be good. And I also play, as the guys know, a lot of golf down here. And so we got a rental car because we didn't want to put the mileage on the car that we have down mm-hmm. here. Yeah, you wouldn't understand these things.
It's kind of honestly. Yeah,
I lease and the mileage. But anyway, I don't want to digress.
You got a cap. You got a cap on the miles.
You got a cap. My sister had an extra bedroom. We're going to stay down there. No hotel. It's going to be fine. Now, I also, as the guys know, play a ton of golf down here. I love my family. I love my show. And I love golf in that order. That's kind of, it's become more than just a hobby. It's what I do. I love being out there. Now, there is a tournament they have, and I'm talking to Santana because I don't care about the other guys right now. There's a tournament they have down here called the Buddy Buddy Tournament. All right, the Buddy Buddy Tournament is a don't will you stop smirking at me, Rob? Please, for God's sake.
Quite the name.
This is the one that was founded by Buddy Ebsen and Buddy Ryan, right?
It's Buddy Buddy when I moved down here, a guy said, "Hey, are you new to the place?" I said, "Yeah. Well, I'd like you. Why don't you play in the Buddy Buddy with me?" And I've never said I wouldn't because it was the first guy that ever invited me to anything.
Friendship.
Be really cool.
Yeah. Yes.
So the Buddy Buddy takes place in February, and you kind of pick, you have teams where you have to play these other two guys, and then if you win, you go on, and if you win, you go on, and you win, you go on. It's like the NFL playoffs. Exactly like the NFL playoffs.
Same level of athletic prowess.
Same level of athletic ability.
This is embarrassing.
This is.
Why is it embarrassing? I'm telling what happened. This is on my mind, and I have to bet. If I don't bet, I can't do anything.
Carry on,
I've got please. The tournament works where you have the whole month, basically, of February to pick pick a mutually agreed upon time where you play an 18-hole golf match against the team that you're scheduled to play against. That's it. And so I said, okay, that's great. I'll do it in February. I'm going away in a week, and I'm going to go away for the weekend. But I didn't think it's February. There are plenty of days I'll be able to do this.
How competitive is the Buddy Buddy Tournament? Just so we really lay down.
Yeah, like a scale of 1 to 10?
Do you have any music that might work with that?
Sure.
Possibly?
Mm-hmm. No, the guy that I play with, I don't, the knock on him, I don't think he necessarily gives a shit.
Oh, he doesn't
care.
To
be honest.
He doesn't care.
No, but I do.
Does everyone else care?
A lot of guys care. A lot of guys care. What do you?
So you get on the green.
What is this music? Is this NFL music
here? So the Buddy Buddy this tournament is more like one of those you play and I drink tournaments or.
Not that casual. He's
I just
want to
know. I just want because I.
Let me just put it this way.
I would sign up, you know, and be a part of it because.
You know,
I'll be the drinking buddy.
I was going to say, which side? Yeah, right.
The drinking buddy.
Do you play golf?
You know, occasionally, yes, but I don't play as much. I do more of the drinking part.
Okay. All right. Well,
socializing and drinking.
You know, well, you know what? You may be talking to a champion right now. But anyway. If you want to talk about an area where I've excelled most of my adult life. Anyway, I'm playing yesterday, and one of my guys from Boston, my buddy Gino, and Gino says, so you up for the big tournament this weekend there, Mike? And I said, what tournament? He said, the Buddy Buddy. I said, no, Buddy Buddy, what are they doing? There's a shotgun start that they're all going to be out there, you know, and I said, no, it's you play for the whole month. No, they got everybody, the first round, everybody's there together. And I realized at that moment that, oh, God, I've screwed up. I booked this trip. My wife is, in mourning because she lost her dog. And we've got the kid who's going to be with the babysitter this weekend. And everything is set. And I screwed up. The long and short of it, I messed the whole thing up. And people are going to go, you know, people that are living in 50-mile-an-hour below zero wind chill are going, oh, poor Mike. No, you didn't have to endure the mourning of... I said, you're right. Yeah, I'm fine. Just thought it'd be good for us to get away.
Oh, you know, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. You should have some quick stats, Santana Moss, is that Mike is on his third marriage.
You know, that's not Mike's, nice. That's not kind.
But as a sports guy, I'm sure that he appreciates statistics.
This is just hard data, right? These are the hard numbers. They don't lie.
Are you married, Santana?
Yes.
Do you have kids?
Yes, I have kids.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. I'm just dead. Boy, he kind of had that intimidating look. But okay, I won't ask any more questions about that.
All I know is that you're not about to get buddy-buddy with him. It's not going to happen anytime soon.
I just don't want to have no sad him. Stories, Mike, because I don't want to.
No. I believe in the institution of marriage. I'm all for it. That's why I've done it 3 times. Yeah. I believe in it. This is
I tell you one time, it's in or out, you know.
Enough.
Yeah. It's enough.
Sometimes one is too many.
Yeah. Well, no, in this particular case, I think I've found my
should be a pro hitter now. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, third time is a charm.
Let me just say this. Financially, from a financial standpoint, and you are in a different zip code than I am, but let me tell you this. That financially, what I've gone through with 2 marriages prior to this one is probably the reason why I'm renting a car to keep the mileage down on the one that I lease. That's probably, let's just say if I stayed married to the first one, probably wouldn't even be thinking about that right now.
Makes sense.
But I do. But that's it. So anyway, I screwed up. And the gist of the story here is that I just got to, as Oscar will tell you, I got to be more mindful of scheduling and details. And I kind of throw that by the wayside.
You disappointed your wife, who's 20 years younger than
me. I disappointed my wife. I disappointed my sister. By the
older sister.
By the way, and my sister informed me, which I also forgot because I'm a dumbass, that the guy that was going to be down there was the crew coach that got me to go to Marist College to row for Marist College. And he was going to, this is the guy literally that got me into college.
Wow.
And so he was going to be down there.
You basically screwed all these people over for the buddy-buddy tournament.
Yes. Thank you. Let me. Boy.
Yes.
Come on, Mike.
It fit right in.
Right. I heard you were kind of a natural in the podcasting business. Now that's been.
Mike.
Listen, I haven't been invited to anything down here with these Midwestern, Indiana, Iowa people that where I am not. I don't fit in. I don't, but I love golf. That's the only area I fit in. This is the only, they take this seriously.
Sure.
Yeah. And they take it seriously because this is what they do. If I did that, I wouldn't be just screwing my partner. I'd be screwing the other two guys. They wouldn't be able to reschedule it and we'd have to bow out and the other guys would be without opponents. I'd mess up the whole format of the tournament. The decision to screw the family as opposed to my buddy partners, it didn't take me
so
any
you're
time.
You're okay.
I knew what I had to do
in the buddy golf environment. How did your sister take the news?
Kathy doesn't let her.
She's been disappointed by him so many times. It's probably par for the course.
What do you mean she's been disappointed?
I mean,
I meant
that was the inner monologue. She probably was bummed out. But
I would
she,
think
you know,
so.
She
yeah.
didn't make a big deal about it.
Well, you always can go back down there. You always say, you know what, after the buddy tournament, I'll see you guys. So it's
well, they're going to head back to Boston. So
yeah, so the tournament,
well, Boston's
the tournament
nice
is like
too.
Once in a lifetime or twice in a lifetime. And
or every year.
Or every year.
No, Santana, all right. Are you joining in now? No, you know
hey,
it's
I'm
not.
Just trying to be, you know, it's you know not. I'm trying to find an equal
I don't know what
supportive.
You're trying to do, but it's not helping. all right, we have to take another commercial break, but that's I just had to get that out.
Are you sending Carla anyways just so she can go maybe with her mom
Carla right now, Carla is in the process of figuring out what she wants to do. And I told her that I would be available to her through tomorrow night, but Saturday I'm sorry I'm occupied.
Sure. So it's
the
golf,
buddy tournament.
Your family, then the show. That's a new power ranking.
No, it's not. It just happens to be for this weekend. We have to take a commercial.
It's for this week.
We're running late already. I want to talk about. You know, I promised it. I do want to talk about. Hey, for non-sports people, I'm going to talk about NFL officiating and how it's ruining people's lives. When we come back, right here on the Mike O'Meara.
In these divisive times, it's hard to find common ground. It's difficult to concur, which is why there is such value to calm, collected political discourse. This is why we need political persuasions. Mike O'Meara.
You don't f***ing understand that we're in a world of shit right now.
Chris Freights.
And I'm not going to let it happen.
Line of Fonzie,
cool, considerate men.
You want to yell? I'll f***ing yell, asshole.
Let's yell.
Because
let's
the f***ing
yell.
And never clouding their judgment with the fog of emotion.
You know why you can't? Because
I just
there's
did.
Nobody.
Why
there's
don't you f***ing let me talk?
O'Meara.
I pretend that you're objective, but you're not really objective.
Freights.
I let you run on and blah, blah, blah. I don't interrupt your red face rants. And then I try to say 3 words. And
talking the issues of today.
Are you going to let me finish a sentence? today?
Find it on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Political Persuasions, quietly changing the world.
Not that part. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Liquid IV. The cold and flu season is officially here. Boo. Did you know that proper hydration is one of the most important factors in flu and cold prevention and recovery? Liquid IV is a healthy alternative to traditional sugary sports drinks. And unlike Pedialyte or Gatorade, it has no artificial flavors or preservatives. When mixed with 16 ounces of water, it actually helps your body absorb more of the water and nutrients you drink directly into your bloodstream. I love this stuff. It's non-GMO, vegan, free of gluten, dairy, and soy. And it can provide the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Liquid IV is the fastest growing hydration brand. You can find it everywhere, even Costco. You can find Liquid IV at all Costco's nationwide. I love Liquid IV, and I know you will too. Right now, our listeners get 20% off at liquidiv.com when you use your code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order on the Liquid IV website. Go to liquidiv.com and enter the promo code TMOS to get your savings and start getting better hydration. That's liquidiv.com, promo code TMOS. Don't wait. Get hydrated today. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Play the clip, Rob Spiewak.
Come on. Here we go.
You gave me a thumbs up.
From their own 21-yard line. Taylor Jacobs in. There's a wide out to the right.
Larry Michael. Play-by-play. Washington
this
Redskins.
We need to have something good to happen right now. Cooley in motion. Brunell. Quick screen out to the left side. Santana Moss has it. Breakthrough 30. 35-40. He's sideline. He's going to go.
He's going
to go. 40. 35. 30. 20. He's going all the way. Touchdown. The second touchdown of the game for Santana Moss. 79 yards on the play.
A screen.
That's what he.
Thanks,
what
Sonny.
Been working for him.
A screen.
Oh, boy, he is.
That
fast.
Is. I play that clip for one reason, to demonstrate the incredible ability of our guest Santana Moss, but also to demonstrate what true, wonderful play-by-play is. You know,
Mike,
no,
on.
I'm sorry. You know, it's just that should be a screen out to Santana Moss. He's got it. He could go all the way. Instead, 30. 20, 10. Yeah, I'm sorry. I love you, Larry, but give me a break. Hi. Welcome back. I'm sorry. I'm not well today. Santana Moss, thank you for
at least Sonny tipped in.
At least I'm glad I didn't have to listen. I was out there, strutting my stuff. So,
doing the work.
It was a screaming play-by-play opportunity, and it was kind of like, and then Sonny, with the incredible color commentary, scream.
Sonny could have dropped in his catchphrase, which is hot dog.
Hot dog. Hot dog. Give me a hot dog. God bless, Sonny. We're here with Santana Moss.
You guys off the chain. It's too early for this, Mike. It's too early for this.
I know. I'm sorry. Thanks for coming in early. We appreciate it. Santana, I got to ask you about the state of the officiating in the NFL. You got some, along with your career highlights, the particular moments jumps to mind. You were... oh, God, I hope I get this right. It's RG3. Touchdown gets called back. Said he didn't have control of the ball. You get ejected arguing with officiating.
Yeah.
I think officiating, I said to the guys a couple of weeks ago after the championship games, I came in here and I said, I feel as a fan when I'm watching the games now, it gets to a point where it's not who's going to win the game. It's who's going to catch the break by the officials with the reviews.
And no doubt.
Look, I understand that the reviews are important. They probably improve the calls in the game. But it's getting to be, especially late in a game, it seems like constant review, and what's it going to be? And then when you get with all the technology available and you get a call like the Saints-Rams game with the obvious pass interference, that's what's your opinion of the state of officiating in the NFL right now?
My opinion has always been the same. One of the things I've learned from being a player, you can't allow the fans. I mean, you can't allow the officials to be, to have the last deciding factor of the game. I think many times as a Redskin and even as a Jet. I remember my years at the Jet. We sat there fussing and fighting with the officials for calls. But one of the things I've learned through the 14-year, career of mine, you can't allow them to be the ones that say, okay, we're going to either decide whether you have a chance to win the game or lose the game. Because if you find yourself in that situation, like we saw over there in New Orleans, you're going to find yourself on the opposite side, and it's not going to be so pleasant.
So you say your point. Let me see if I get your point. You're saying basically, win. You know, you're up by two touchdowns. That's irrelevant. That play doesn't matter. You just gotta You gotta win the game. You don't want it to come down.
Where they're the guys to make the decision whether you have that penalty call or not. And some of the things are obvious, like New Orleans. That play in New Orleans is obvious, and you wonder why that. You know, this guy just didn't see it. He saw it. Everyone knows he saw it.
Right.
You wonder why he didn't call it now. That's my question. Why you didn't call it? Because it was two fouls. You know, it was a helmet to helmet and a pass interference. So you will never know. And
as someone who played the game, do you have any idea what his motivation would be in not calling it?
Look, for years of watching sports, period, basketball to football, I always said that if you allow the officials to be, you know, have their hands on the game to where they can make something say this is going to allow this team to win or lose, trust me, they will make the right call or don't make the call at all. And that's what you saw. To me, that's just my opinion. And
so they will influence the game, and you have to take them out of the game, and that means you got to win.
You got to win outright.
Handily,
you have to go out there
outright.
And just handle your business. And I just feel like I've saw that too many times. Too many times I've been on this road watching sports or being a part of a game to where when the officials have a chance to say it's up to me to make this team go or this team, they will always ride on their decision and they will cause you the game. And that's what we saw over there in New Orleans.
Yeah, and it's frustrating as from a fan standpoint because, you know, especially if you've got an emotional interest in the game, and I don't, and it still pisses me off. So, you know, I'm not rooting for
that
any
was just blatantly, you know, that was
terrible.
Wrong. You know, it was
and in the NFL, of course, these guys go back during the week to being, you know, accountants and dentists and going back to do right. I mean, it's not like in baseball where you got guys that that's how they make their living.
Yeah.
But it's I think that's always been a factor.
But
with
they still
the
make a pretty good living, though. I mean,
they
that's
still get
a side
paid, right?
job, and they're making six figures almost. You know, or probably well over six figures. So,
right.
I just feel like at the end of the day. With these officials, they have to have something, you know, they have to be reprimanded for their actions also. You know, if we're going to be fined or penalized for some of the things that we do throughout our game, if you're calling our game, you have to be reprimanded. You have to be put in a position where you can lose a check or you can be fined for not making a call or, you know, penalized as in saying, I can't allow you to official the next game because you're causing people their livelihoods. You know what I mean? This team has been, to me, dealt two tough blows from the previous year of that miracle in Minnesota to now having a shoot. I mean, they could have literally walked into the Super Bowl if that play was called right. You know, handling clock situations. They was going to handle that well, run the clock out, kick a field goal, or score. And now you don't give the Rams a chance to come down and score or win the game. And I just feel like it was up to the officials. And they made the right call that they felt that should have been called.
You know, it's interesting, an article, I think it was in the Boston Globe that I was reading this morning, about New England and, 18 years, 9 trips to the to the Super Bowl, something like that, some ridiculous statistic like that. And there's an article, and this speaks to the way fans react, and being from that part of the country, where I went north for my baseball with the Red Sox as a fan, and south with the Giants, because I was in the central part of the state of Connecticut. And I was reading the article that the gist of it was not as special anymore, that you don't have, you know, where Philly last year, the police were greasing up the light poles so people wouldn't scale them if they won the championship, where in Boston now, it's kind of like, whatever, that's it. You know, it's weird the way fans react, and this speaks to you. How much, you know, you mentioned it right at the beginning. It's the first thing you said about a championship. When you look back, you can't control. It is a team sport.
Yeah.
You got the coaching. You got ownership. You know, you played at a high level everywhere you were. How much does that gnaw at you at all when you're with two particular teams where it just doesn't happen to happen? And, you know, so many players in the league.
Yeah.
Have had amazing careers and never gotten that. Well, it's a terrible question to ask you, but I got to ask you because I wonder how you feel about not ever getting the ring in the NFL.
Yeah, it's kind of odd because in high school, I was a champion. In college, I was kind of, I could say that the BCS.
All-American.
No, I was All-American, but the BCS bull crap kind of forced us out of the championship game, but we still actually played for a championship. We was able to still play in the Sugar Bowl, and then Florida State would have handled Oklahoma, we'd have been co-champs. So to me, I would have been a champion, but it wasn't up in, you know, it wasn't in our hands. In the pros, I just knew whether it was a 14-year career, somehow, somewhere I was going to get there. I didn't even see the game before the championship game. You know what I'm saying? So
I understand.
It was just I've heard other guys like, you know, Brandon Marshall, who hasn't been in the playoff ever in his career. So I just found it odd to have the career that I had and not, you know, play for a championship, because I feel like my play was on a championship, you know, caliber of, you know, talent. And my brother played, what, 6 years, 5 or 6 years, and he won a championship with the Giants. And I just sit there and was like, wow, how was I not unlucky? But I look at it, I watch football, I'm still a big fan of the game. And one of the things I've always said is that, you know, when it comes down to the team aspect of football, you have to have everything, you know, going your way at times. You have to be lucky sometimes to see that game.
To hit on all eight.
Yes. And we're not always lucky, you know, and you can have a great career. You can put up all the accolades and all the numbers, but if your team isn't hitting on all cylinders, you know, you're going to find yourself being a part of something that at the end you're going to see, do you regret, you know, not having that chance, or do you regret anything? And one thing I can say is I don't regret nothing, because I went out there and I laid it on the line, and we always had this saying, me and my trainer, leave it on the field, and I left everything on the field. So I have no regrets. I wish I would have had the opportunity to see a Super Bowl. I think that if I couldn't win it, then I would say I don't want to be in it, because you want to have that confetti being on your side. And to not see myself, you know, even having that experience, I'm okay with it, because I don't know how I would have carried on if I didn't have that confetti on my side, being there and not being a champion.
Thank you. That's a good, honest answer. I appreciate that. We're going to take another break here. We're with Santana Moss, Super Bowl week with the Patriots going in there. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Meara Show.
You're as cold as ice.
This week on the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show.
When the groundhog sees the ghost on the day of Saturday,
it is a shadow. Make sure you say shadow. It's not ghost. It's shadow. S-H-A-D-O-W.
I'm so sorry. I have the trouble with the shadow. I write that down. Shadow. Spell shadow. Again for me, please. Spell. Is, spell. Could you spell for me, please?
S is in Sam.
S.
H.
Just a minute, please. I don't speak your language. Just write down.
Okay.
S. H. Yes. S. S. S-A.
H. H is in how. A. Or head. H.
Head. S.
S-H.
S. Head.
The Mike O'Meara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMeraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Brandless. Why battle crowds at the big box stores only to pay a premium price for disappointing quality? Brandless cuts out the middleman to deliver just what matters, all at simple, fair prices. Brandless offers better options for the things you care about. They sell everything, and the website is a thing of beauty. I got my knives, beautiful, yes, shiny knives, and knives that my wife might take to me this weekend based on the fact that I screwed up the weekend for they're a thing of beauty. All this stuff at Brandless, it's simple, but it's quality. It's
pens,
wonderful,
Mike,
quality.
I love pens. They have the best pens. It's great.
Pens.
If you love pens. Snob.
You're
I'm
pen
a pen snob. Yeah. And you know what?
For all the pen connoisseurs out there. They do it right. Get it?
All right.
Brandless offers better for you items at better prices. Ship directly
got
to you.
Pens, Mike.
Did you get anything else besides the f***ing pens?
Yeah, of course. I got I got some great kitchen stuff. They had a salt grinder. I'd never had a salt grinder before.
Rob, after the show, Mike, I kid you not, he's like, man, I should have gotten some knives as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. The knives rock. They really do. They're great.
I shall visit the knives.
I'm sorry I said
Rob
the F word
like things
in the commercial.
Sharp, I see.
Yeah, there you go. You're getting it. They provide millions of meals a year through their partnership with Feeding America, the nation's largest domestic hunger relief organization. Right now, our listeners can receive $10 off their first order, or first their order. It's 2019. Up the game. That's
how are the pens doing?
Pens are great. Typing not so great.
So in the pens, you would write their first order as opposed to first their order.
Right.
That would be the pen to edit that copy before it gets to what I call final, which is when it's in my hand.
Right.
It's just a tip. $50. Let me say it again. Right now, our listeners can receive $10 off first their order of $50 or more and free shipping at Brandless. Go to brandless.com and use the code TMOS to start saving on high-quality products. Don't wait a second longer. Go to brandless.com and enter TMOS to get $10 off your first order of $50 or more and free shipping. Start enjoying the high-quality products you deserve and do it today. All right, so did we get the video? The video at the end
video
was
good to go.
Yeah,
video's good to go.
Everything's A-OK.
Fantastic.
We're here with, Santana Moss. How much is the vortex going to affect the... you guys up there? I know the Midwest is getting, it kind of swings up and you're not getting as whacked as anybody else, right?
This morning was our worst day.
Yeah.
It was negative.
It will be your worst day or?
I mean, but it's going to get better from here on out. It's not going to be ridiculous from now on, but today is
The Wisconsin Avenue right side of, which is proper as far as Northwest DC is concerned for us, was a mess this morning. And I didn't know why. Looked like a water main broke.
Yeah.
Like pipes snapping left and right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is pretty amazing when you hear about Chicago and the Midwest, when you talk about 60 in certain areas, maybe what, north of 60 degrees below zero,
yes.
Which I've never, I can't believe what that would be like for people, especially
negative,
people.
Negative
that are,
12.
That are,
I heard at one time.
Negative 12 in DC.
No, in Chicago.
In Chicago. Yeah. But the wind chill is like
the wind
60.
Chill is, yeah, in the 60s.
That's weird. That's weird. We're here with Santana Moss. All I'm hearing, and I got back to it with the Super Bowl, Santana, is that this Super Bowl, even with major markets like Los Angeles and with the fan base up in New England, not the kind of same heat that we had last year with Philadelphia and with New England. And the article in the Globe that I, before I got off on a thing asking you, not as much sparkle with this Super Bowl. You don't hear that very often. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you're hearing on the street. There's so many different teams in LA now that you got a team that a city like St. Louis that kind of feels screwed with the team going out to Los Angeles, and then you got the Patriots, where the Tom Brady factor. As a former player, how do you look at it? Do you detach yourself from it a little bit and just respect the athletic ability of a guy like Brady and a coach like Belichick having that success?
I think it's one of the things when I grew up, when I was growing up, I love watching Jordan and Phil do their thing for so many years. And, you hear about the dynasties from different teams. I also was a big 49er fan growing up. So to see Jerry Rice have championships with Montana and then with, I can't think of his name right now, other quarterback, Steve Young. Just to see him go through with two quarterbacks and see the dynasty that they built there. And even in Dallas, they had their little, dynasty, short dynasty with the triplets and everything. To see what the New England Patriots have been doing, to be able to see this game, I call it the dance. That's what I used to call it when I played. The big dance. Right. These guys been there 9 times with Tom Brady. And the reason why it's special to me to see these guys do what they do, because I was a part of that team that allowed Tom Brady to be Tom Brady. I was on the 2001, I got drafted in 2001 to the New York Jets. And Mo Lewis of, the New York Jets, the linebacker, he the one hurt Bledsoe to allow Tom Brady to get in the game. And that was history. The rest was history.
Sixth round draft pick. Yes. Tom Brady,
see what he's
amazing.
And it's not just about being a player and having your opportunity to be, a starter. No, Tom Brady took advantage of that opportunity, and him and Belichick was like a perfect marriage. These guys have really built something that you would probably never see again. And to watch these guys year after year, whether they win it or not, it's just astonishing just to see these guys make it and go through the different, the different odds that they have to face, week in and week out about whether they have a number one receiver or not, whether their running game is hitting on all cylinders, whether the defense is the defense of old. Because, I think a couple of those Super Bowls is won defensively, by itself. And then you got to think Vinatieri was a big help for some of those Super Bowls also. But now you see that they're clicking on all cylinders when it comes defensively, special teams-wise, and offensively. So it's just odd to see these guys still going. And 9 years later, Tom Brady came in, I believe, a year before me. I think he was drafted in 2000, and I was drafted in 2001. To see this guy still playing at a high level, 40-plus years, and to be still considered one of the top quarterbacks in this game when it's so many other guys have came in and wowed us with their play, man, it's, you have to get these guys. That's why I say I find it odd to hear that you're saying people are not, you know, it doesn't have the same, you know, vibe, you know, sizzling vibe that you heard from last year. I think just seeing what L.A. has done, having all these teams go to L.A., yeah, it's kind of odd to have all these teams move to L.A., but to see them in a Super Bowl that early, you know, to see the Rams 2 years later, you know, Sean McVay, you know, head coach last year, and now he's there. You know, I want to talk about taking L, something that I talk about on my show. The Washington Redskins could sit there and say they took an L with letting Sean McVay leave, because to me, if he's still here, it's easy to move him ahead of, you know, who we have now. You know, and on Jay Gruden just saying that, hey, I think it's time for Sean to take over the helm and be that guy, because to see what he's done in L.A., it's just it's wowing everybody. So I have high aspirations for this game, because you think back when New England saw the Rams in 2001, they saw the greatest show on turf at the time, and they was able to beat those guys. Now you have another high-powered offense coming in from the Rams again this year. But not only do they have a high-powered offense, their defense has been the things that we've been talking about lately. And when you have Donald and Sue, and then you have the cornerback play, you know, with Tlaib and all those guys, it's going to be interesting to see if Tom can go out there and still find his way through all what's going on with the Rams, and how, you know, to me, I feel like this game is almost riding in their favor to see if he can conquer those guys and be a champion again.
And for those of you who are with Santana Moss, Redskins, great for many years, and also great with the New York Jets. And I'm getting my my Super Bowl football fill with Santana. And, you know, for those of you who say, it was all sports. Well, yeah, once in a while we do that, okay? So we're doing that. Well, we're doing sports talk for a little. What?
You also have something in common, I think most of the people do, is that, and you should know this, Santana, Mike had been a lifelong DirecTV customer forever. And so has Rob. And the one thing that when I'm working either on your show or I'm working with Mike or Rob, they're always bitching about their cable providers.
Oh,
right?
Man.
And
I got to go back to DirecTV. They forced me into it down here.
You're going back to DirecTV. I'm trying to get out of it.
Okay, you don't like DirecTV?
Well, honestly, I love DirecTV. I'm one of those guys that
I love DirecTV.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. But mine's been broke for years. I have the Genie 2 now, and I should.
Oh, the boxes aren't talking?
I shouldn't skip the Genie 1, because my mom said, well, I have the Genie 1, and it's perfect. The Genie 2 is just, it just cuts off in the middle of big games, and I'm like,
oh, I'm sitting technology. There. Technology's getting too far ahead of us, Santana. Yes. That's what's happening with
that. So I found myself in this situation. I didn't share this with no one, not even on my show. I solved my problem. I kept the Genie 2, and I went and bought me a Fire Stick. And I have my Fire Stick set up where I can watch cable TV. And if the Genie goes out on me, click here to Fire Stick, and I'm talking about I'm watching the same channel.
And the Fire Stick is streaming, right?
Yeah,
Fire Stick is streaming.
And this thing that I have is streaming on all levels. I mean, I have over 2,000 plus channels, movies, pay-per-view. I'm not sure if I should be sharing this with you guys, because I think it might be illegal that I have all this. But at the end of the day, if my Genie 2 decides to act up, I'm moving to the Fire, and trust me, I watch the Fire Stick more than I watch, you know, DirecTV, because I'm a movie head, and I like to sit on the couch normally when I work out and have my lunch.
What's your favorite movie of all time?
I don't have many. I have so many movies I watch, I can't pick one.
Most recent that you're loving.
I can't think of most. I'm an old head, so I like to go back. Like I would be the guy on Fire Stick, and I would click the button where I can talk into, and I say, Michael Douglas. And I want to bring up all Michael Douglas movies, and I just go and watch all of the 80s and 90s movies. But I can say my all-time favorite would have to be Tony Montana, you know.
Scarface.
Scarface.
I feel like the gratuitous violence. That's cool.
I was born in 79 in Miami. And
oh, my
in the
God.
80s,
right near you were born the year before the big boat lift.
Yes, and I remember the streets being wild as a kid. I don't know how my memory is what it is, but to see that movie and to say it has a little truth in it, yes, Miami was, you know, cocaine heaven. I can say that, you know, for a long time. And it was wild like that in that area that I grew up in. So it brought so many memories to me.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's a great movie, too. That I'll never forget that movie. That's a movie with one of the scariest scenes, too, yeah, where you're just like, I don't want to look at that.
Oh my God.
Chainsaw! Chainsaw! Oh, my God! Chainsaw! Hey, speaking of technology, I'm so mad I forgot about this.
What's up?
Yesterday, I talked about the guys that I'm playing golf with, and Carla comes up to the golf course in her
activewear.
Activewear.
His wife.
Carla wearing activewear.
And she says, are you all right? She got, I'm putting my phone into my golf bag. And apparently I pressed something, Oscar, up in the upper left-hand corner that says SOS. Do you know anything about this? Do you know what I'm talking about? Excuse me. Apple, let me just tell you. I don't need your effing help. I swear to God, I don't need you to do this. To make my wife like I've fallen. Like I'm in a ditch between the house and the golf cart, you know? Which is 6 feet where my elderly ass gets up to the golf club. She comes out, are you all right? She said, I got a call from Lee County Police.
What?
Yes.
The police get involved.
You're listed. Emergency. Apparently, Apple in there. I don't need any extra help.
Well, that was a trial run. You actually had a trial run, and it did what it said worked. It would do.
I disabled it now because
did Carla have a hip a nice skip and a bop to her walk up to you?
No,
she's like, finally.
No, Carla, the dog and Carla.
Yeah.
Because the dog, we lost the dog last week. She's kind of having the delayed reaction. She's moping around and she goes, are you okay? I just got a call from, I said, what are you going to call for? And I'm up there with all my, all the children that I play with.
Did the police ask if you remember?
And all their eyebrows are up near their hairline going, oh, what's going on, Mike? Why's your wife up here? You know, it's like mom coming. Yeah. Why did mom come to the playground? Why is mom coming to the playground right now?
Did the police ask you if you remembered the buddy buddy this weekend?
It's too much technology. I know you look the genie. It's still better than Xcrapity, which I have down here. But I am starting to get into the button where you can talk into it. You can do that with the Fire Stick.
Yeah.
I can do that. What I have, and that's why my pick to click right now, True Detective.
It's wonderful to see.
That's good. Little slow with the flashbacks. Mm-hmm. Little too much with the flashbacks, but still better than a lot of stuff that's out there. But anyway, please don't help me. I didn't fall. I didn't fall down there because Carla thought that, you know, somehow in the 6 minutes that it took me to get over here, I got out of the golf cart and went, you know,
my neck and my back.
I'm on my back like a turtle. God,
we're here with Santana Moss, and we will be taking a little break and coming back. Can you hang out for news you may not need
I'm
with
here,
us?
Man, let me. You know,
that's good.
Love
that's
it.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
Once you got
we'll
me,
take
you got
a break.
Me.
All right, good. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
More broadcasting, the Mike O'Mara Show, 2019, the year of Ponyboy. Tune in and witness his thrilling transformation. A new Matthew. Stronger, better, more determined.
Maybe.
He's replaced his cigarettes with excellence. This is the year we watch Matthew bloom. Don't miss the metamorphosis. The Mike O'Mara Show. Always improving for you.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our TMOS bonus packages. Today is January 31st.
Fact!
It is the last day of January. Yes, dear hearts, the end of the mighty month of January. Goodbye, old calendar friend. Don't be sad that January is over. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing except the laughs and memories brought to you by the bonus show. You can buy it right now, bitches. If you don't, you're missing out on an extra bit of content every week, you moron. Remember, the future of our show depends on it. It's the most fun we have each week, and it still has that yummy flavor that screams almond milk.
Yum!
Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. So please, dry your tear-soaked eyes and buy it. And we thank you.
News!
News!
Boo. All right, this is kind of dovetailing from what we talked about before. Last year, North Dakota was the only state outside of New England that was rooting for the Patriots. Can you believe that? Over Philadelphia. But Tom Brady actually has more supporters this time around. For starters, there's Louisiana. Definitely not going to root for the LA Rams because of the way the Saints-Rams NFC Championship game went down. North Dakota is still in the Patriots camp for whatever reason. The other states pulling for Brady include Michigan, Kentucky, West Virginia, North and South Carolina. North and South Carolina would be a Redskins area. Even with the Carolina Panthers, you've got, right, the radio network.
The original radio network went south. Right? That's right.
And Alaska rooting for the Patriots.
They have TV up there now?
Yes, they do. TV and moose soup.
That's it.
In addition to Massachusetts, and by the way, being from that area with Maine and Connecticut and all that, you got the New England fan that now resembles, as I said before, kind of the Yankee fan.
Yeah.
Everyone that I asked yesterday said, so you ready for the big win? Yeah. We're pretty sure. Yeah, Mike. We're pretty sure we're going to do well. We're going to do fine. Yeah, we're pretty sure we're going to kick their ass. Absolutely.
I feel like I'm watching Marky Mark right now.
It's kind of like what my impression of New England. Yeah, Tom Brady, he's going to do all right, Mike. Thanks for asking. Appreciate that. The other 35 states are all pulling for the Rams. In California's case, it's because they actually like the Rams. That's funny. For everyone else, it's not wanting the Patriots to win. Even Missouri would rather root for the city that took their team. That's amazing that Missouri's actually rooting for the Rams.
And is it common for the Super Bowl to be fueled by who you don't want to win?
Well, you know how I root for football. Right?
That's true. Yeah, you are the antagonist.
I can't say that with our guest here.
No, of course not.
I can't guess that I'm bitter. I can't tell them that I'm bitter that I was replaced by a sports talk station.
And Mike, you're covering
it out on the Redskins fans.
You're covering it well.
Thank you very much. Yeah, moving right along. Tony Romo. All right, Tony Romo, controversial figure in the broadcast booth, Santana. People love him, people hate him, but he was popular, especially with Redskins fans as a punching bag during his days. But as a sportscaster, as a color guy on a telecast, he has become a modern marvel. Let me tell you why. Yes. The Wall Street Journal took a deep dive into Romo's broadcast this season, reviewing all 2,599 plays from every game he called. They counted the number of times he made a specific prediction as opposed to a general observation. That's like calling a play. According to their calculations, Romo made 72 play predictions this season, and he was correct 68% of the time.
Wow.
That means statistically he's better at predicting NFL plays from the booth than he was at reading defenses and completing passes on the field.
I'm a fan of Romo.
Being up there, though, up there in the press box, you can watch see the field in front of you. Does it make it?
No.
It doesn't make
it easier. I think Romo he has a special talent. He's a quarterback.
Really?
He was better of a quarterback. He didn't get the praise enough that he made guys better than what people give him, you know.
Okay.
Half of the reason why Dez Bryant was who he was because of Romo. I found it odd when I hear people say, well, Dez Bryant can't separate no more. He never separated. Romo threw him open all the time. And for years, I talked and praised
him. When you say threw him open, do you mean
he found ways back shoulder, throw it up high. He made sure that
he placed the ball
perfectly for the talent that he had. He knew how to give the guys who was out there making plays for him the ball. He knew if he had a burner, I'm going to throw it in front of him. When T.O. was there, he threw that thing out there because T.O. was going to make that play. He was going to run that ball down. With Dez, he's going to catch that 50-50 ball 99% of the time. He threw that 50-50 ball, back shoulder. He found ways to say, hey, he's a strong catcher. He has strong hands. When he was in traffic, he knew he can count on Dez. So I don't think he get enough credit. The one thing that I hated about Romo and his stint with the Dallas Cowboys, the defense was crap every year.
Right.
And they called him, or they always gave him the slack of saying, the flack of saying that, hey, you didn't win the game, you didn't get us to the playoffs. It was the defense fault. So Romo should get a lot of credit for what he did. And I think what he's doing now in the booth is just from just studying and just knowing the game.
All right. That's cool. I like that. I just wish he wouldn't scream all the time. Anyway, there's a 23-year-old woman named Noor Alfala. She definitely appears to have a type. I'm just giving you the story I have it. She made some headlines last year. She's 23 when she dated Mick Jagger, who is 74 years old.
Wow.
That's like you and Carla. Better.
That's a 21-year age difference. Thank you very much.
And Mike's never had a number one record. There's a difference. It's
just
not
because we
same.
Have a guest, you just pick on me all the time. And Monday, she was spotted. This is true.
Okay.
Nora Fowler, 23, spotted leaving a restaurant with 88-year-old Clint Eastwood.
No!
Oh, my God. Lord,
they got into a car together. Here's the weird part, but he was driving, and she was in the back seat. This is the,
Uber. He was an Uber.
I saw the same report, Mike. When Clint left the restaurant, he was in the left lane going 40 miles an hour with his blinker on.
She's giving the Just Friends rap. She says, quote, "There's no relationship. We're family friends." Sounds a little weird. "And my family was there, and that's it. My parents were there. Other friends were there. Trust me, there is no relationship with an 88-year-old.
Have you seen or read about this movie that he has out now? A couple weeks ago it came out, The Mule.
The Mule.
Came out at Christmas time.
I'm actually trying to go see it. One
he has
I'd
two
like
scenes
that
in it
on my list.
That are threesomes.
What?
He has two threesome scenes in it.
All right, so maybe you could handle that. Good point. Good job.
Clint, he's not directing these movies just to be movies, man. He want to make sure that he's that guy in these movies, man.
At least they say they're threesomes. I think one of the girls might be a nurse.
if he's 88 and he's still, more power to him.
Yeah.
If you're not worried about the so-called deep fakes, have you heard about this, where they put the face on someone and they can put a video out there that looks like the person. Mm. If you're not worried about it, you're not paying attention. Listen to this. A deepfake is a video. You take one person's face, superimpose it on someone else's body. We talked about this a few months back where it's gotten more sophisticated and better that you cannot tell. The technology is already advanced enough that you can make them virtually flawless at a time when fake news is already a huge problem. Listen to this. The point was really driven home yesterday. I urge everybody in our audience to watch this video. It's stunning. It's Jennifer Lawrence giving an interview, but she's got Steve Buscemi's face on it.
Oh no.
And it is terrifying. It is Jennifer Lawrence's voice, Steve Buscemi's face. I'm telling you about it. I'm not showing it to you now, but you have
some scary stuff.
It is so scary. It's insane. The result looks like a human being who actually exists, but of course it's also a human being who should never ever exist. If you see, it's like her in the dress.
Well, what a way!
It'll
to,
blow your mind. It'll yeah, this video
to spotlight
will blow your mind.
That technology where you're like, if we can do this, we can do anything.
It's truly amazing. Just because you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning doesn't mean you are a morning person. Trust me on that one. But hey, if you are a morning person, here's some good news for you. According to a new study, morning people are happier overall than people who stay up late. And that's not only bad news for night owls, they also have a higher risk of depression and schizophrenia.
Mm.
So,
Oscar.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Oscar, you would
going
be the night owl.
Going to bed at 2 a.m.
I'm a morning person then. Yeah. I got problems.
Are you a morning or a night person?
Morning person.
Well, that's good news.
I'm wired up.
That's good.
Okay.
I'm like I'm the guy that go to sleep at 3 and be up at 7, like, ready, you know?
All right. I'm a morning person, but I think it's because of, it's demographics. It's the fact that all old people get up.
You
at
got
five
a little guy too, right? He wakes up.
And it goes back. You did a morning show for years. You did a morning show for years.
I did a morning show. Yeah, but I mean, if I wanted to sleep till 8 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't do it. I don't think I could do it unless you really plied me with rum the night before or something like that.
I could do it if I got a bathroom break.
You want one right now?
No. I mean, I get up at about 4:30 and take a leak, and then I could go back and go sleep till 10.
All right, thank you. And now a little something, something. The cops in Austin, Texas, got a call on Tuesday afternoon. This is a really bad kicker line, but I...
All right, we stand by.
Cops in Austin got a call Tuesday afternoon about a 26-year-old woman named Dovie Nichols. Dovie was sitting at an outdoor patio table, and she was using a love toy.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, no.
Herself.
Dovie. Lord, Dovie.
Therefore, for everybody to see.
What's now, she doing,
they,
man?
When they arrested her. Isolate that. What's she doing? I'd like to save that. When they arrested her, she kept going at it in the back seat of the police car by thrusting herself against the seat and moaning in the squad car. She has been charged with indecent exposure. When asked about it, the cop said, "Well, it's just the same old grind." Sorry. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yay.
Pretty good
for me. We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak on the Mike Hemeta Show.
for your consideration.
Brie, American, Gouda, mild cheddar, camembert, provolone, baby bell, parmesan, mascarpone, burrata, feta, ricotta, Gruyere, Asiago, gorgonzola, Havarti, Monterey Jack, Stilton, Swiss, Fontina, Pecorino Romano, and Buffalo mozzarella.
She didn't name all of the cheeses, but she named enough of the cheeses. She's Madeline Masiello, the queen of cheese, only on The Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, man. Nothing quite like just linguine with a little olive oil and some grated Masiello. So tasty. Welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our shopping center. The big name is this weekend. Oh, the big game. Sorry.
Game. You read.
I'm Mike O'Mara, and I can't read.
Oh.
Thank you. The big game is this weekend. It's so important, we can't even mention it by name in this commercial. That's you still not able to say the...
Why mess with it?
Super Bowl.
Don't say it!
So instead, let's talk about the most magnificent carnivorous bird in the sky. Let's talk about the superb owl. Let's celebrate the superb owl. Let's declare February 3rd Superb Owl Day. And you can get all the stuff you need for your superb owl party at MikeOMaraShow.com. Our site features Macy's, Target, and Walmart. When you shop these retailers, were you drinking when you wrote this?
No, it's just a joke I love.
All right. When you shop at these retailers through our portal, you're supporting the Mike O'Mara Show. So if you're getting together with your friends to watch the superb owl, stock up on food and fun at the TMOS Shopping Center. Oscar, what's your impression of this joke that he likes so bad?
Well, it's a Rob joke. It's perfect for him.
So I'm wondering, why can't we say Super Bowl? I'm not saying Super Bowl. I just said it, but I don't want to say Superb Owl ever again.
Super Bowl. Cost you nothing. Eat the world out. Shop Macy's, Target, and Walmart through our website. Thank you very much. Let's open up the audio vault with Rob Spiewet. Take it away,
Mike,
Rob.
Do you have your detonator handy?
I do.
Oh, good, because guess what? Outside, it's very cold. My teeth are
chattering.
I love it.
Don't make a novelty song, DJs.
I need
about
that song.
Cold.
I need it every time I step out the house and step out my car.
One more time. One play it. Play it. Go ahead.
That's how I feel when I walked out this morning.
Turns out, I did some research, that's not actually the Beatles. That's a guy pretending to be in the Beatles. So
very exciting.
The not actual
Thank
Beatles.
Thank you for are. Clarifying.
However,
that.
It is cold outside, and everyone is being very protective. No school in Loudoun County today because of extreme temperatures. That's a good idea, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Why not?
Not according to Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin.
You know, now we cancel school for cold. Come on now. I mean, there's no ice going with it or any snow. I mean, what happens to America? We're getting soft. And I do appreciate it's better to err on the side of being safe. And I'm being only slightly facetious. It does concern me a little bit that in America, on this and any number of other fronts, we're sending messages to our young people that if life is hard, you can curl up in the fetal position somewhere in a warm place and just wait till it stops being hard. And that just isn't
reality.
All right,
wait a minute. I line up on the pussification of America and the softness of America.
Sure.
We are too soft. But if you are dealing with a school bus and a dangerous wind chill, I'm not sure what it is in Kentucky. I'd have to see this. I mean, really?
Yeah.
That's
but
not making
it. You're
the
not alone,
with this
Mike.
Guy?
You're not alone. You know who else is up in arms? The Ooh. Very angry Al Roker.
And by the way, I just have to say, this nitwit governor in Kentucky saying that, we're weak. These are kids who are going to be in sub-zero wind chills. No, cancel school. Stop it. You know, adults, if they want to be out there, that's great. These are our children. You know, I'm glad you're not a teacher.
No, but he's right. I mean, it's if you're not used to dealing with this in that state, and I'd venture to say Kentucky is not used to sub-zero weather, you don't do it. And when you're talking about the Midwest, what is it, like 10 minutes you can get frostbite there?
Like,
you know,
even better this morning on the Today Show in the 8 o'clock hour, they had Al on an icebreaker, and he's trying to do the weather. Like a literal icebreaker. The Today Show. This is how much did they
Roker was on an icebreaker?
Yeah, they disrespect the man so bad. And he's trying to do here.
He's like 130 years old and they got him still doing the stand up.
It's minus 50 on an icebreaker. Hello. And he's
Tony
trying.
Perkins left like the network because he didn't like to go to Atlanta.
When he tried to do the weather, you could tell that the air was so cold he was gasping to get anything out.
Yeah.
It is when you're doing a stand up and you're in that kind of cold weather, when you're outside and you're trying to speak into these microphones,
the mouth doesn't necessarily work that well.
You know? And the lungs start to, when you take a breath, and it happens when it gets real hot outside too. If your lungs register temperature when you inhale, you cannot talk. You just can't do it.
What you? I mean, you played a million football games. What's the coldest experience you ever had? Where do you remember it? Was it?
Yes.
Were you ever at a game where it was
thinking
just
about it right now?
Okay,
2013 season, the last game of the season, we played at Giant Stadium. The coldest game. I thought I caught, you name it, pneumonia that game. I was so sick after that game. I remember being in the huddle and Trent Williams telling me, Tanner, let's leave the game. And we was getting killed. And I was just sitting
there. So did you have a little something before the game started?
Look,
or was
normally,
it just
normally, I'm superstitious. So I dress the same way regardless if it's cold or not. I don't like wearing tights under my pants. It kind of restricts me from moving. So I said, hey, I'm going to lather up in this thing that they gave us that supposedly hold a warmth in. And I did that thinking that, hey, that should be able to secure me. I always wear sleeves. So I had my normal sleeves on that was a little thicker, had a little thermal underneath my pads and my normal socks, and thought that, you know, with some feet warmers and hand warmers, I should be okay. And the game was wet and cold. Ugh. I mean, the ball, it was that's icy. It was like slushy. And I remember sitting in there chattering. and Trent Williams told me numerous of times, like, Tanner, just leave the game. And being the guy that I am, and I think that's one of the reasons. I think now when I hear the fans talking about why they appreciate me and they, you know, look up to some of the things I did, I could have easily tapped out. I could easily say, look, I'm not a big, you know, factor of this game. I'm coming in on third down. At that time, I believe Pierre Garçon had said, hey, deuces, I'm done. I'm on the sideline. And I'm not sure, but I knew it was just me and Aldrick Robinson in the game, and I'm looking at Aldrick like, we're the last two standing, and like, this game doesn't mean nothing to us. Look, I wanted every inch of every play, because you never know when it's your last one. You know, you never know when your last one. I'm getting them into those years. I'm like, hey, this is 2013. Look, think about it. The next year, I was done. That was my last year. So I just wanted to be out there for my guys, win, lose, or draw. But I was freezing. And I remember when the ball was coming my way, I think I dropped a couple balls, and I was like, I'm not caring about catching the ball right now. I just want to get out of this game. And that was the coldest game ever.
There are Redskins fans that are loving this right now so much. Thank you for that. That is freaking awesome.
So while we're talking cold, Mike, what about hard-hitting coverage of the cold?
One man actually turned this super frozen banana into a makeshift hammer.
There you go. He turned a banana into a hammer. That's how cold it is. But that's not what we're going to close with. We're going to close with a trip to Budapest, a Hungarian water faucet. By the way, that's not a category.
Okay.
Could be. A Hungarian water faucet that every time you turn on the hot water sounds like a man groaning. We have this video on our Facebook page. Tell me you wouldn't call a plumber yesterday if every time you turned on your faucet you heard this.
What the?
It's also the sound Rob makes at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, but then back to bed and I can sleep till 10. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a good Thursday, everybody.
Hey, Santana Moss, what an honor to have you on
the show to talk football,
to talk everything.
Thank you for having me, man. Please,
when you're in Washington, come by. You're welcome anytime to see us. And good luck with your podcast.
Thank you so
much. And everything else you do. Oscar has said so many wonderful things about it, and I was glad to finally get a chance to meet you. And Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, I guess I'll see you guys tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we'll be around.
Yeah.
Is that the way
it goes? You got Political Persuasions coming up as well.
Political Persuasions this week.
Oh, the Chris Frank Show.
Yeah. We're going to talk about maybe not necessarily just Trump this week. We're going to talk about some people that are getting into the fray, so it should be interesting.
Also, ask Chris the coldest he's ever been.
On a CNN stand-up?
If you have a message you would like to hear in our Tuesday mailbag, send it to Rob with two Bs at MikeOMaraShow.com. Remember, the TMOS bonus show makes a great gift even for yourself. Go to MikeOMaraShow.com. Click the banner that says Gift Bonus for Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak. Mike O'Mara, thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show is made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Okay. Come on.
Look what I have created! I have made fire! I have made fire!
That's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.